This is Drive Time with Michael Corman. This is the Self-Defined Human Podcast. Here we are. This is Thursday evening. This is March. No, it's April. April 1st, 2021. April Fools, everyone. This is not Michael Corman. This is Michael Corman's evil twin. This is Mackle Kerman. We're going to talk about storytelling today. Storytelling. So the thing is, we all tell stories, and the stories that we tell, the thing is, like, they're not true or false. Okay. Stories are just stories. They're just words. So if I say to you, I'm driving, that's a story. Now, do I believe the story? Well, sure. I'll say I believe the story because it seems to be consistent with my reality. You know, there's this driving, there's I am driving. Okay. So it's like I'm in the car and I'm driving. So yeah, so the story seems true. But sometimes stories are not so straightforward. So we're going to talk about that. So when is a story not straightforward? Well, sometimes, you see, sometimes we tell stories because we're just trying to figure out how to make sense of things. We're just trying to find a way to talk about a subject. We're just trying to find a way to talk about what we see and what we know, okay? And sometimes we're just trying to find an explanation because we think that there should be an explanation. But, you know, just because you think there should be an explanation doesn't necessarily mean there has to be an explanation. There could be an explanation. I mean, there's always an explanation if you come up with one. So like I can say, you know, Michael, why is it that you're right now you're talking about stories? Why is that the topic of this podcast? Well, because I said that I want to talk about stories because it was on my mind, because I was reading stuff on Facebook and Instagram and everything. And it was like, this is the topic that I want to talk about. And it's like, I'm going to make a podcast episode about it because I need to talk about something on the podcast. And so might as well be that, because that's what's on my mind. And I want it to be easy to talk about. And I want it to be something that I can talk about and something that is not like at the cutting edge of my own understanding. Something that is reasonably comfortable, that I can talk about reasonably confidently. So that's why I picked talking about stories. And that may not be the thing to talk about. I don't know. But I'm talking about it. And there's my explanation why. So, look, that explanation is an explanation. Is it the correct explanation? I don't know. Well, see, why does it matter if the explanation is correct? How can it be that an explanation would be incorrect? Like, what does that mean? If I say it's an incorrect explanation, does that mean I'm lying to you about it? Does that mean I'm trying to deceive you somehow? Does it mean I'm wrong? Not necessarily. Because sometimes the same facts can have multiple explanations. They can have contradictory explanations. So I remember when I first started to notice this. So I was working through this workbook about acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, A-C-T. And the workbook is called the Mindfulness and Acceptance Workbook for Depression. And this book, it's a cool book. There's a second edition. I was going through the first edition. I think the second edition seems different. I don't know. I looked at it in the bookstore. But I don't know where my copy is. I think I do. See, I lent it to somebody and I never got it back. So I don't have access to it. But I was attracted to this book because of the picture on the cover. It's like, it looked really cool. It's like, it looked like it was about mindfulness. And I didn't know what mindfulness was at the time when I got the book. But I don't remember what was on the cover. I think that book, was there a shell on the cover? I think it was a shell. And it looked super cool because it was like something from nature. And I had read a bunch of other self-help books and books about psychotherapy, and none of them had those kinds of pictures. But the mindfulness and acceptance, there's one for anxiety, and there's one for depression, and there's one for, what else, social anxiety? I can't remember. There's a few of them. I don't remember the authors. There's more than one author. But that's the book. Uh-oh, there's traffic. So that book had some cool exercises, and one of the exercises was something like, so you think about something that, I can't tell you what the exercises are as were written in the book, okay? So you're going to have to, you know, if any of you haters out there want to give me a hard time because I'm misquoting or I'm misattributing or whatever, anything like that, then you need to get a life, because I can't waste my time with that. I'm trying to get the information out to the people here. So I'm going to make up the exercises on my own. So here's the thing. Take something in your life. Take some events that happened in your life. Actually, here's a better exercise. Okay, this is a simpler exercise. Take an adjective. Any adjective you want that you could use to describe yourself. So, for example, I could say I'm smart. Okay, now let me give you a story about that would prove why I'm smart. Okay, I'm trying to like convince you that I'm smart, so I'm gonna tell a story. And I'm gonna say, well, I'm smart, you know I'm smart because I have two master's degrees in two very different fields. I have a master's degree in music and a master's degree in computer science. I was admitted into a PhD program in computer science. I'm really good at figuring things out. I can go on Google and I can learn how to do absolutely anything. And I taught myself to do tons of things. I've taught myself to draw. I've taught myself to do calligraphy. I've taught myself to play the guitar. I taught myself all kinds of things. I taught myself how to make a podcast. I'm really, really smart, okay? So that's just a simple story, and you may find it convincing, you may find it unconvincing, but I think it's pretty convincing. Okay, now let me give you a story. So here's the next step, is you're gonna take the opposite of that adjective, okay? Stupid. And I'm gonna now to play the same game. I'm gonna give you a story that about why it is that I am stupid. So let's see. I'm stupid because when I took chemistry as a freshman in college, I was in a lab. You know, there's a lab portion of the course where you have groups and you do projects with the group. And I had no idea what was going on. I actually got a D minus in that class. Okay, I just was like, I had no idea what I was doing. And I remember one of the girls in my group, who was kind of like the leader of the group, was like just like rolling her eyes at me because I had no idea what was going on. Okay, I got a D minus in chemistry. I got I got a C minus in Shakespeare. I got I got a D in a course called statics, which is a civil engineering course. And I just have lots and lots of bad grades, and like so many times where I've just like been sitting there and listening and just like, I don't know what anybody's saying. I don't know what they're doing. So I'm pretty stupid. Like, I'm not really that smart. I mean, there's so many people that I've been in school with and that I've been around who just always know what's up and I don't. So I'm pretty stupid. Okay, so that's a story. And listen, it's a true story, okay? So like all the facts that I named in that story are all true. There's nothing that was false there. There's nothing that I made up just to convince you. Like, everything was true. So the only, so like, how can that be? How can it be that you have a one true story that proves that I'm smart and one true story that proves that I'm stupid? I mean, that's weird, right? But it's true. Like, you can do that because you pick the facts that you want to pick, and you use it to make your conclusion. And you can always do this. So let's pick another couple adjectives. So Michael Corman is, let's pick another one. Michael Corman is, I mean, anything you want. Like, you can try to challenge yourself with that. Like, let's say Michael Corman likes to cook. Okay? I like to cook. Okay, let me prove that to you. So I like to cook because I have, first of all, I have a bunch of cookbooks, and one of them I really like is an Italian vegetarian cookbook. It's fantastic. And I've made a lot of recipes from that book, and I love just experimenting with different things to cook with. And I like sometimes not following recipes at all, because I learned how to cook from my grandmother, who's Italian American, and I learned the secrets of cooking from her, and I just learned to instinctually wing it. Like I don't always follow recipes. Sometimes I do, but I don't usually. I usually just do whatever, and because I have good instincts for it. So that's why I'm good at cooking. And people have told me that did I say I'm good at cooking or did I say I like to cook? I don't even remember which one it was. I don't know. We can do both of them. But let's say I'm good at cooking. Let's say that's the one. Okay. I think I said I like to cook. I don't know. In any case, we're going to say I like to cook. Okay, that's the one we're going to go with. So I like to cook because you can see there's all this stuff. I have all these cookbooks. I have all this stuff. I have all these skills. I've done it a lot. And I mean, even just the other night, I was like experimenting. I had a bunch of stuff. I didn't really have any plan for dinner, and I just had a bunch of weird ingredients, so I just kind of threw them together. And that's something I do a lot. Okay, great. That's proof that I like to cook. It's also proof that I'm good at cooking, I think. So we can do both of them. Now let's do the opposite. I don't like to cook. Okay, well, you know, just last night I was at Trader Joe's and I was like looking for ingredients to make some vegetable thing, but I was like, I don't feel like doing this. Like, I don't feel like chopping vegetables and picking out vegetables and everything. So I bought this thing that's just like this pre-mixed vegetables that are already cut and chopped and everything. And it comes with sauce, and it takes like 10 minutes to make the whole thing. You just put it in the pan and just cook it, and then there it is, and there's your dinner. And so you don't even have to do that much work. I mean, anybody who doesn't even know anything about cooking could probably figure it out, because it's all measured for you and all, it's just the instructions are right there. It's very simple. And I do that kind of thing a lot. And actually, last night I had a frozen dinner. Okay, it's an Indian dinner that was just frozen, and you just like heat it up in the oven and you don't have to do any work at all. So that's kind of like, I don't like to cook, and I'm not very good at it because, you know, well, I can name you times where I've tried cooking something and it hasn't come out very, very good too. I mean, I burnt toast the other day. Like, I was just, you know, left it in the toaster too long. I mean, that's kind of an elementary mistake, right? So that's an example of why I'm not good at cooking, why I don't like to cook. And so I've come up with four stories it's really two stories with four different conclusions. You know, two sets of conclusions that are mutually exclusive. Like, they can't both be true. I can't both like cooking and dislike cooking and be bad at cooking and be good at cooking, right? I mean, that seems to violate the laws of logic, doesn't it? Well, no, it doesn't really violate the laws of logic. You know, it just doesn't, because the fact is that there's more nuance here than meets the eye. When you say that you're good at cooking, like, what does that mean? You know, you tend to think that this is like this all or nothing proposition, like it's either true or it's false. But the fact is that when you look deeply at the situation, you see that, are you good at cooking? Well, you know, sometimes things go well and sometimes things don't go well. So you've made this decision that you're gonna put this blanket statement on there and say, I'm good at cooking, because you've taken all these isolated incidents where things have gone well in the kitchen and you've decided to connect them all together and to say, that means I'm good at cooking. Well, you know, that's a little bit, that's not the way to do it, because, you know, look, do it if you wanna do it that way. I don't know, okay? But look, that is not nuanced, because you can tell the opposite story. So the question is, which one do you tell? Which story do you tell? Do you tell the one where you're good at cooking or the one where you're not good at cooking? Now, what you've learned to do in school is that you've learned to tell the truth. You've learned to tell the true story and to give the right answer. But the fact is, there's no right answer here. I mean, we could say there's a right answer. I mean, maybe there's one that I maybe gravitate more towards than the other. But the fact is that you can't make a firm case for either one, because there's evidence to the contrary no matter which one you go with. So the real answer to this, okay, is that you want to go with the one that works better. You don't know, you can't just say which one's true, because truth is going to have to be about what works better. Now that's a way of thinking about it. It's a way of talking about it. It's not, if it doesn't sit well with you, because you think, well, that sounds a little bit like I'm suggesting like that truth is somehow relative, or that people can invent their own truth. And I'm not making a case for anything there. I mean, that's not the point. The point is that you, when you're deciding which story to use, in Michael Corman's opinion, it makes no sense to talk about truth, because truth is... Now listen, I know when I say this stuff, I know that there's some people that are going to argue with me on this, and I'm not going to argue it because there's nothing to argue about here. This, you got to make up your own mind about these things, okay? There's a lot of people that give me a lot of hate online because they think that I'm trying to push some kind of ideology on them or something like that, and which is crazy because that's not anything that I do. I don't push ideologies on anybody, and I don't really argue with people. I mean, I haven't done that. I haven't really argued very much for a couple of years, I don't think. I mean, what I do is I tell stories, and I sometimes give heuristics and rules of thumb and things that I've, you know, tools that I have found useful. And, but people, you know, very often will hear that as some kind of argument, which I get that. And I don't know quite what to say about it. Trying to figure it out personally. But let me take all that, what I said, back, because that's not the right thing to put on the podcast. So what we're talking about here is storytelling, and we're talking about truth. So truth is exactly that. It's that you decide which one is going to be useful in this context. See, that's the thing. You got to look at the context, and you got to ask which one is more useful in that context. And there's not necessarily a right answer to that. It's something that, it's like if you have, like, you're trying to build something, you're trying to build a table, and you want to know, well, what kind of nails should I use in the table? Well, I don't know. You know, there's probably different kinds of nails that you could use, and maybe you have a toolbox that has a few different kinds, but, you know, you got to kind of look at which ones you think might be better suited for the task. And maybe some of them are good for that task, and maybe some of them are less good. And maybe it doesn't matter. And so if it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. And if there's a tool, if, you know, maybe you say, if like a couple hammers, which hammer am I going to use to hammer in the nails? I don't know. You know, you kind of, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it does matter. Maybe one of the hammers is better than the other hammer. You know, maybe you've got a hammer and you have a screwdriver, and you're like, well, which one am I going to use to hammer in the nails? Well, you know, it's possibly relatively easy to make that call, because typically you would use a hammer to hammer in the nails, and you wouldn't use the screwdriver. But some people might use a screwdriver. You know, what if the hammer is broken? What if the hammer doesn't even work? What if the hammer is made of rubber? Then is it going to work to hammer in the nails? Probably not. You might have to use a screwdriver if that's the only metal tool you have, if that's the only thing that's strong enough to hammer in the nails. And you can't go to the store and buy a real hammer. You may have to just use what you have at your disposal. So if that's, it's, you got to think of your stories as being tools. They're just tools. It's like you're in a context, in some kind of situation, and there it is. And you just use it. So I hope that's useful to you. See, this is a tool. What I'm telling you right now is an example of a tool. It's something like that, where it's like, most people are walking around thinking that there's this truth, and that they have to be so religiously faithful to the truth. But the fact is that, you know, that's itself a tool. See, that's the real realization you got to have there, which is that the tools are, that no matter what, you're still using tools. So even if you're going to say, well, no, I adhere to the truth at all costs, at all times, and sure, but that's a tool, okay? The truth is a tool, and your religious devotion to the tool is itself a tool. So, you know, you gotta kind of see that in yourself, and kind of say, you know what, I'm using tools all day long. Everything that I do is a tool.